Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
I make a motion that we adjourn. Because we're trying to have a business meeting. We're trying to have a meeting.
That was sound from a municipal meeting in Dudley, Massachusetts earlier this year. And it's a sound that is becoming more familiar to local officials all across the Commonwealth. Whether it's mask mandates, business closures, even whether to build new housing, local governance has gotten more contentious, and it is leading at least in part to an exodus of the non-elected professionals who are paid to run many Massachusetts towns. According to the firm Community Paradigm Associates, they help towns hire executives. About 288 towns in Massachusetts have these town managers, and more than half of those towns have seen turnover in those town manager positions in the last 7 years, and that's a significant increase. When there is a talent drain in town hall, it can affect everything from how fast you can get a permit to your trash collection. So what's going on? What do we do about it? Adam Chapdelain recently left as the town manager for Arlington, and Bud Dunham is the town manager for Sandwich. He's also the president of the Massachusetts Municipal Management Association. They're both here in Studio 2. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you.
And welcome, Bud.
Hi.
Hi, it's great to have you. So, Adam, I'm going to start with you. Why'd you leave the role?
It was really multifold. I had been there for over a decade, 12 years total, and I think I was ready for a change, ready to tackle some new things. But I think if I really was going to pinpoint something, during the pandemic, we got relief from 3-4 night meetings a week where you start work at 8 a.m., maybe you get a 2-hour break, and then you're back at a meeting sometimes till 9 or 10, 11 o'clock at night. Again, 2-4 nights a week. The pandemic kind of relieved that. And now it started to come back. I have young children, and I think that was a big part, not the only part, but a big part of my decision to say, I think I want to try something new, at least for a little while in my career.
And Bud, you were saying before the show, what Adam's just saying, you have one of those meetings tonight, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, here it is the summer. We have a select board meeting this evening. Last week, we had two different other committees met. And it does wear on you over time, I think, especially as you do the job longer. You know, those evening commitments are really difficult. And I think it's fair to say most of us, we don't take extra time off in the morning to try to recover. We come in and start the same day at 8:30 and stay however long it takes.
And Adam, is it your experience that those meetings had gotten a little tougher?
100%. Yeah. I mean, in coming in today, I was thinking about it, and these jobs have always been hard. There's always been contention. But managers have always been asked to be the apolitical or the nonpartisan people getting work done. But we're operating in a world now where everything is political. So you're bringing forth solutions and just trying to keep the trains running on time or the trash picked up or the toilets flushing, whatever it might be. And it's been politicized across the board. So it's been hard to come up with solutions where you're never able to make everybody happy. But these days, it seems like you're making everyone unhappy.
Yeah, and I would say a big difference than even 5-10 years ago, social media, for the most part, didn't exist. So now in most of our communities, there might be civic interest groups, self-designated news outlets that are just on Facebook or any of those other sources that really aren't truly news, and the amount of misinformation that gets disseminated to the public. Factual issues about, why is someone not getting a permit, is an example that you gave earlier. There's many different things that get floated in the public domain that aren't accurate. And so, we've tried to morph over time to try to put out more factual information, but we don't want to get into a back and forth or go on some of those sites because they're not official public sites. So yeah. That part really didn't exist 5+ years ago. And I wish I had a dime for every time a local reporter called, oh, we heard on Facebook that. And most of the time, 90% of the time, not true.
It's not true. All right. So we're talking with Adam Chapdelain, who's the former town manager for Arlington, and Bud Dunham, town manager for Sandwich. Adam, I want to back up. So I love me some municipal management. I love town government. I love this stuff. But I want to bring home for listeners, when someone like you leaves your role and it takes a while to put someone else in because the job is hard and it's gotten tough and tense, what doesn't work well in a city? What happens for people in and Arlington when the town manager isn't in the role?
So I think what happens is, Arlington has a great team. A lot of the nuts and bolts will stay in place. But when people have to work harder to focus on the nuts and bolts, the bigger stuff can't get done.
Like what?
So if you're interested in pushing forward for bike lane implementation or more renewable energy to be installed on solar rooftops or more investments to be made in some type of infrastructure that you want to see done, it's harder for the existing staff to continue focusing on that because they have to put more focus on the day-to-day.
So does it slow things down?
I think so. Yeah. I think it can slow down progress, especially on the bigger stuff.
Bud, you're nodding.
Yeah, we've had a couple of examples recently where high-level department heads leave and trying to find replacements for them, not just for our own positions, but, you know, very responsible department head positions. And, you know, previously we used to get 40-plus resumes and probably half of them were qualified. Now we're lucky if we find two or three qualified people. And to try to go through the interview process and, you know, select someone that we think will work, it can be very, very difficult, and I think it's forced us to try to do different things. A great example, especially in local government, municipal finance is far, far different than anything in the private sector. So when you get a high-level municipal—
So wait, back up. Municipal finance, what does that mean?
So I guess the best way to describe it
Adam's
is—
Adam's cracking up.
Yeah,
at
I know. These are the type of questions we get asked and we can't even explain to our own families. You know, typically most towns have a finance director position, a treasurer collector, a town accountant, and a director of assessing. It's a fairly common organizational structure in most of our communities. So if one of those positions leaves, trying to find someone, if you don't have someone who's qualified in-house or is working their way up, it's really difficult because it's not like private sector people have that type of specific municipal experience. The laws are so different, the requirements that we have to follow. It's just not apples to apples.
So what goes wrong then?
I think we have been forced to get creative. And ironically, I think that's one of the benefits of COVID. I think we all realized we could operate better remotely than we ever thought we could. And so a great example locally in Sandwich is our finance director, treasurer collector, talk about a three-headed unicorn, is leaving. And so very qualified, very well respected. And so he said, is there any way we could keep you in your role? And he said, well, I'd be willing to do the finance director job from afar. So we went and recently hired a treasurer collector, which is easier to hire than that three type position. And yeah. So we're actually going to work on someone working out of state as our finance director and see how it goes. Now, fortunately, we have the type of relationship. If something doesn't work out, we can be very blunt with each other and, you know, shift gears. But I think it's forced us to be more creative. And really with COVID, before that, I never would have thought about having a department head work remotely.
Adam Chapdelaine, former town manager for Arlington, you did love your job.
I did. I mean, what I loved was the people. So many good people, both staff and volunteers, working together to get stuff done and really accomplish a lot for the community.
So tell me a story. Tell me one of your favorite stories as town manager.
I mean, I think a lot of my favorite stories are around sustainability and public art. And one that I think about more recently was a local artist interviewed probably about 150 people across the community about their pandemic experience. So she interviewed me, police chief, fire chief, health and human services director, other volunteers in the community. And then she put together one individual piece of art for each of those interviews and installed an exhibition in one of our public parks. And I just thought that that was an amazing combination of energy from within the community partnering with government and then putting it on exhibit for the whole town to see. And I think that's the type of powerful work that local government can do if it's operating right.
And what was your role in that? What does the town manager do in something like that?
I mean, I was an interviewee, so I get to share my experiences, and I have this stainless steel piece of art that she made from, you know, from our description, from our conversation.
Can you describe it?
It's sort of like a red and orangish, almost like solar flare looking piece. It's beautiful, and it's a memory I'll carry with me forever. But more broadly and more technically, you know, you make sure your recreation director and Parks and Recreation Commission are going to be able to work with that artist to permit that type of exhibition to happen in a park and you know, make it easy for them so that the public can then enjoy that outcome.
And Bud, tell me a story.
Yeah, I would say a couple really quick ones. I would say one of the most proud things of, you know, most positive about is many, many years ago, before there's a program in the state called the Community Preservation Act, there was a precursor to that called the Cape Cod Land Bank, which was very similar, where the public agreed to tax themselves an additional 3% to buy open space. And I would never classify myself as a tree hugger, and yet we have really dedicated professional people in town who love the outdoors. And so there was one special town meeting we had where we bought three significant parcels, all with different funding sources, all with different end games, but passed overwhelmingly. And if you look at what we've done with those three parcels over time, it's pretty mind-blowing, especially the one that we ended up buying with a debt exclusion, which is hard to get public support for. It was 83 acres of land that was owned by Hewlett-Packard. And so we have an awesome recreation program that takes place there. We just built public safety buildings, and we're building a center for active living focused on seniors right now.
So you're, Bud Dunham, you're the town manager for Sandwich. What role did the town manager play in that?
On that one, I would say it was a combination of working with the landowners to try to work out and negotiate the purchase price. Also working with a couple of different committees that focused on land acquisition and or conservation purposes. And then I would say one of the bigger things at the time was the selectmen were really reluctant to present those to the voters at the time, and just because we weren't sure how people would react. And it was the type of thing that once we talked it over, and I think this is one thing that Adam would back up, when a town manager and a select board and department heads are all rowing in the same direction, you can accomplish some amazing things locally. And so that was a good example where in the beginning, I'm not convinced the full board was supportive of it. But by the time we went to the voters, they were 100% behind it. And I'll never forget the night, you know, the votes were being taken and we were waiting at a restaurant in town just to see if it passed and just how happy we all were when it passed. So that was a big thing. And again, not the type of thing that I would have said before we did it that was high on my priority list, but I'm so glad we did it.
All right. So we've talked about what the town manager does, what happens when we don't have a town manager, why it's important for the city, things that have given you joy in your work. But it is getting harder. It's getting harder to do the job, and it's getting harder to get people into the job. Adam Chapdelaine of Arlington, I remember having a conversation with former Newton Mayor Cedi Warren, where he talked about the fact that we are nationalizing all our local politics, and it's making it really hard to just get stuff done. Do you think that's the key driver of why it's harder to get people into these roles, into jobs like the one you just left?
I think that's a big part of it. I think he's right. I think people are frustrated that they can't get things done at the state level or at the federal level, so they want to solve climate change or solve racism or end racism or whatever it might be at the local level. And those are filled with merit, but they can't fully be accomplished at the local level. So it does create frustrations. But I think more broadly, there's a lot of anger in the world for good reason. And that anger has nowhere to go, but the local government's there, right? We're in your town. We're in your city. We have office hours. We're in our offices. We have phone numbers. We have emails that we respond to. So I think there's a lot of anger channeling. And there's a lot of personalization and ad hominem attacks that are going along with that. And I've been repeating time over time that I think we need to find a way to focus and go hard on the issues but easy on the people. And it's easier said than done, but I think if you can get a group of elected officials and appointed officials and staff that can understand we have big challenges to tackle, but that we need to care for the people that are tackling those challenges, there might be a pathway forward to making this a more sustainable career.
Bud, you're not on a lot.
I would just say it's fair to say like the vitriol that we've seen from the public, I think, has gone up another few notches over the last 3-4 years. And part of it's the social media that we talked about previously.
Is some of it more people participating because COVID put things online where more people can access them?
Possibly. We were really successful locally. We were only closed for about 6 weeks, which was atypical.
In Sandwich.
Yeah. So I would say that's part of it. I think another part of it is just maybe frustrations in other parts of their lives, and local government's an easy place to take it out. I think one of the things that my guess is that we love most about local government is you can actually accomplish things and see the fruits of your labor. If you think about everything that a local government provides, it's really impressive.
So I'm going to play a little bit of sound here. Diversity in city and town government has been front and center in our news. So I'm thinking, for example, Everett, there have been battles over racism in city administration. There was a black city councilor, Councilor Gurley Adrian, who eventually ran and lost for mayor after reporting hostility from her colleagues on the council. We spoke over the phone, getting ready to talk to you, with Bernard Lynch, who's that at Community Paradigm Associates, which tracks turnover in the field. Here's what he said.
I know that of the searches that we've done, you know, a woman's been chosen and probably, I think, it's for 30 to 45%. That's a little bit better than sort of the average around the state, people of color. You know, I'm very pleased that, you know, we're seeing a little bit more, but it hasn't been a profession that here in Massachusetts that has, just necessarily attracted people of color.
So, Adam, what can a town like Arlington do to attract a replacement for you, for example, who represents the broader diversity of who we're becoming here in the Commonwealth?
So I'd like to think Arlington's already taken some steps. Arlington created a director of diversity, equity, and inclusion. We've done deep training with the National League of Cities Race, Equity, and Leadership Division for all leadership staff across the organization, as well as the select board, to try to build a culture of inclusivity and an understanding of equity and the reality of the racist history of our country and our government. So we've tried to lay the groundwork, and the hope is that laying that groundwork, that over time we create a place that people from diverse backgrounds want to come work because they'll feel like they can be part of that organization, like it is a welcoming place for people of differing backgrounds and differing viewpoints. But I think there's that work is still to be done. The next step is for hiring boards to be willing to hire people that don't look like them. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know most select boards across the Commonwealth are white males. And there's definitely females as well, but there's a lot of white males on these boards, and they have to look at themselves and say, you know, can I be comfortable with, and isn't it the right thing to do to give people who look different from me a chance at these jobs? But I look at Watertown and Cambridge, who just both hired their new managers, and I wish the managers they hired very well. But there were people of color passed over in both of those searches, and I don't mean that to criticize, but at some point, if the candidates are there, hiring boards need to start giving these people decisions, giving these people a chance, excuse me.
All right, but in our last 30 seconds or so, where do you see the most hope?
I would say, I think, again, it goes back to like local government accomplishing things. And I think if you think about the breadth of services that a town provides, be it education, public safety, recreation, senior services, I think that phrase, the greater public good, is something that I ascribe to a lot. And I think it's something that, you know, working as groups, local governments, we can accomplish that.
All right. That is Bud Dunham, town manager in Sandwich and president of the Massachusetts Municipal Management Association. Also with us, Adam Chapdelaine, former town manager from Arlington. Hey, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.